All right, good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Emor. And Emor, the second half of Emor is something we're very familiar with. We just read it on the first days of Pesach. We refer to it as the Parsha's HaMu'adim, where it talks about all the various Yomim Tovim, the holidays that we have throughout the year. And very apropos to where we are right now, one of the things that it discusses is the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, of counting in between Pesach and Shavuos. And I think we've talked about in the past, you know, the question about, you know, if you would ask me, according to the Torah, from the Torah's perspective, is the period between Pesach and Shavuos a happy period or a sad period? I would say right away, it's a very happy time period. It's a time when the Jews emerged from Egypt after 210 years of horrible enslavement, and finally Hashem allowed them to go free, and they were now making their way in the desert, looking forward towards making their way towards Israel, on their way to Sinai to receive the Torah. It should be a very happy time period. Ramban famously, Nachmanides famously calls the time period between Pesach and Shavuos one long period of like Chol HaMoed. It should be happy time. And yet we know that the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos tells us that tragedy struck the Jewish people during this same time. That from Pesach to Shavuos, that says the Gemara, Amra Rabbi Kiva, Shnaim Asar Elach Zugos Tamideim Hayulo. Rabbi Kiva had 12,000 para students. The Kulon and all of the Mesu died to Perek Echad at one time period. The Perek Echad Ad Shlo Nagu Kovad Zelzeh, and they died because they did not give honor to one another. And we know that unfortunately, as a result of this, you know, we have these different practices of not getting haircuts and not having weddings. And so, you know, again, I'm not going to discuss this now, but we discussed in the past, like how do you deal with that? Because again, in theory, it should be a very happy time period. And it seems like this this tragedy sort of transformed what should have otherwise been, again, a time period of simcha and optimism and looking forward. So I don't want to go in that direction tonight, but I do want to just highlight and focus on the reason that the Gemara says why the students died. And it's a very not clear exactly what the issue is or what was so bad and tragic that occurred that they were deserving of this death. And again, Mara says, Shlo Nagu Kavod Zelazeh. They didn't give honor to one another. So what does that mean? They didn't give honor to one another. And we're going to come back to the beginning of the parsha in a moment and see how the beginning of the parsha may actually help us like get an answer to this. But just to sort of strengthen the question, you know, in Judaism, is honor a good thing or a bad thing? Do we seek honor? Is this something that we try to attain, that we try to aspire to? That, you know, when you, every year, you know, for a shul or all an organization in, you know, in general, you're always looking for a dinner honoree, right? So it's one of the most difficult things to find a dinner honoree. So why is it so difficult to find a dinner honoree? So, you want to say because we're all anavim, we're so modest, all of us, and none of us wants honor. Who wants to be honored, right? So we know the real reason why no one wants to be the honoree, because when you're the honoree, what's really expected of you? It's not just to be the honoree, but it's to raise money, right? You're being used by the organization, right? You're deserving of gratitude, but they're choosing you because they're hoping that through you, that you know, that's what we tell people. People, you know, we approach. Every organization approaches, tells them, listen, I know you don't want to do this. I know it's going to put you in the spotlight. You're not looking for that. I know how much this organization means to you. And it would mean so much to us if you could help us to continue the wonderful work that we do. And therefore, you know, please serve as our honorees. And hopefully it'll be a very successful dinner. People very much care about you and they'll want to show their gratitude and their appreciation, their respect they have for you. And you know, it'll benefit the shul, but no one wants the honor, right? Like, you know, I don't need the honor. I don't need the kabbalah. I certainly don't want the work involved either with being the honoree. But but I don't want the honor. And that seems to be an appropriate response, that one should not seek honor. In fact, of this Shabbos, you know, the custom is to learn Pirkei Avos in between Pesach and Shavuos. One, the six Shabbos in between Pesach and Shavuos. There's a six chapters of Pirkei Avos. And so the six, this Shabbos is the fourth chapter, Perek Dalad. And at the very end of Perek Dalad, the Mishnah says, there'll be Elazar HaKafar Omer, Hakina Vataiva Vakavod, Motsinas Adam in Olam, that jealousy, lust, and kavod, and glory, and honor remove a person from this world. Right? Now, if you're a person who's seeking honor, seeking a kavod, so you're going to do a lot of things for the wrong reason. Right? You're going to be, you wind up doing criminal things and cheating people and harming people. And, you know, if you're just looking for the for the honor, things aren't going to end well, right? And no one appreciates that. People don't like people that are always looking, you know, seeking honor. It gives a bad taste, and you know, for you, it's something for yourself will lead to you'll be jealous often of other people who maybe are receiving more honor than you. You get angry. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam when he talks about, you know, midos, about different character traits, right? Famously says that there's a golden mean that every character trait you don't want too little or too much, right? You should be a generous person, but if you're too generous, you're going to give away all your money. You shouldn't be too stingy. The thing is, you should be a little stingy so that you know you keep a little bit for yourself. Like everything, like there's this middle ground. But he has two famous exceptions. One exception is kaas, anger. And on the flip side, that's never good. Stay far away from anger. You make really bad decisions and mistakes when you're going to get angry. And the other opposite is gava, is being haughty, right? You know, because you think you're deserving all the honor, right? So it's not good to seek honor. It's, you know, just do what you're supposed to do. And that's an earlier Mishnah at the beginning of this fourth chapter that we'll read this Shabbos. Ezu mechubad. So who is someone who is honorable? Right, who is deserving of honor? Hamachavis Abrios. Honor other people, right? Show respect to other people, but for yourself, don't seek it. Run away from it. It's not good when if that's what your goal is. Like, you know, you just do your job. I remember many years ago there was an article in there was a sports a magazine, I think called Sporting World, and there was an article about ball players, sports players, that you know, when they hit a home run and they score a touchdown, they do a big dance and, like, you know, they do all these crazy things that to draw attention to themselves. And so the article was lamenting that fact that these players that you know, they're paid to do a job. You know, if you're a baseball player, you're paid to hit home runs. If you're a football player, you're paid to score touchdowns. You don't have to do a big dance when you score a touchdown. That's we expect you to do that, right? And if you're not doing that, we're going to fire you, right? That's it's like anyone else. You know, if you're a teacher and you gave a great class, what do you you're done? You give high fives to all the kids and you do it. You do a break dance on the floor. Like, I nailed that class. No, you taught the kids. You inspired them. You made them think. And you did what you're supposed to. If you're a doctor and you did the surgery, you know. High five all around, and like you just so having sports is a little different because sports is entertainment. So that's actually part of it that you know, it's kind of, it's not just, you know, doing a job, but it's partly it's entertaining the fans. So you know, there's a little bit of element that it's understood why they do those things, but in general, we're not supposed to draw attention to ourselves. So if that's the case, so then what exactly is the problem here? So again, the students didn't give honor to one another. Okay, well, they shouldn't give honor to one another, right? Like, no one should be seeking honor. These are all scholars. These are great Torah scholars. They knew that kavod is not a good thing. So, okay, they stayed away from it. What's the problem? And yet, it sounds like, no, what they did was horrible. And as a result of this, they were all killed. So what's happening? You know, how do we understand this? So I come back now to the parsha. So the beginning of the parsha talks about the Kohanim. It's all about Emor Kohanim B'nei Aaron. It's all about the laws of the Kohanim. They have to be careful about not becoming a tame, becoming impure. Certain exceptions to that, when God forbid a close relative dies, and even more limited when it comes to the Kohen Gadol. What are they allowed to eat? Certain gifts that are given to them as a result of the avodah of the service that they do in the Beis Hamikdash. Certain regulations. Certain individuals. I think we spoke about last year. Certain people who are Kohanim, but because of certain deformities, physical deformities, they can't do this service in the Beis Hamikdash. So I noticed this year, again, one of the Mefarshim I've been quoting a lot this year is the Netziv. So he has an interesting comment on the following pasuk that appears at the beginning of the parsha. The Torah says about the Kohanim, Kidoshim yiyul Eloheim, that they shall be holy to their God, lo yichalu, and they should not desecrate Shem Eloheim. They should not desecrate God's name. Because after all, they're doing holy things. They're bringing the fire offerings of God. They're bringing the sacrifices. They're on behalf of the people, on behalf of the nation. And therefore, they need to remain in this sanctified state. And therefore, they need to make sure that they don't desecrate that kedusha, that sanctity. That's the pasuk. So it says in the Tziv the following. Kedoshim yulaloyam. Kedosha hu precious manoshim l'shem Hashem. That on some level, the Kohanim have to separate themselves from the rest of the people. That they have to distinguish themselves and become a little different. In other words, the Kohanim are in many ways like they were the original rabbis. Right? The Torah never doesn't talk about rabbis. The religious leaders were the Kohanim. The Kohanim were the supposed to be the role models for the people. Right? I think that's one of the reasons why it was so important to go to the Beis Hamikdash, because you went to the Beis Hamikdash, not only could you bring your sacrifice, but you could then encounter the Kohanim who could, be your religious mentor, can get your guide, can someone you can look up to. And so it continues in the Tziv, Hainu Sheyu Mitsuyanim, the Midos Tovos, Mitsnios Gedoma. The Kohanim had to be exceptional in terms of their Midos, in terms of their character traits, Tzias of modesty. Because these people represented what ideally each and every one of us should be, in terms of how we conduct ourselves and how we behave and how we talk. These were our role models. And if they're not going to do it, so, you can't necessarily expect the rest of the people to do it. So the Kohanim were designated for this task to really work on their selves to not to have any flaws and to be people that, the rest of the Jewish people can turn to and say that this is what I aspire to be. All right, I want to act in such a way. I want to be sanctified like they are and act in a holy manner. But then he makes a very fascinating comment. He says, "Ulafuke shlo yiu muvdolim ma'anoshim b'davar she'im b'zeh kiddush shem shemayim, v'im b'zeh el gaiva this rav ravus." He says, at the same time, the Kohanim had to therefore be very careful, because if you know that this is your job, and this is your responsibility, and you're in this position that people are going to be looking up to you and learning from you and seeking your guidance, well, the concern is that you may, think too highly of yourself, right? The word he uses is gava, that haughtiness, what the Rambam says to stay far away from. Like, I'm so great. Look who I am. Look what I've attained. Look what I've achieved. And so What the pasuk is saying is kedoshim yulim, be holy to God. Now do this only for God's sake, but not for your sake. Don't. It's not you. You're just being God's messenger. But you yourself, don't let it get to your head. And he continues that in the next part of the pot. Lo yichal, you should not desecrate. It says the Netziv, im lo yisnagu b'midos mitzuyonos, and if you're not careful, and you actually, you know, do just the opposite of what you're supposed to do, so even though you're not like doing a sin in the sense that you're eating non-kosher, you're not putting on tefillin, but if you begin to compromise and to misunderstand and misrepresent who you are and what you represent, if you no longer are that positive role model to the rest of the people, because when a person is seeking kavod, so you can see right through that person. Right, you know, there's certain people who are in theory very distinguished, and in theory are accomplished people, but you don't respect them because, like, you see, like, those people, they're just looking out for themselves. Yeah, they may be helping other people along the way, but it doesn't make you feel good, and certainly you're not someone you respect because you see that the kavod's gone to the person. Right? I'm sure we all know examples like that. You've probably seen in life and out there in the world of people like that, and so the kohanim. Again, they have to be so careful. It's not easy for them to do this. Again, they have to be this wonderful example, but if they're going to let it get to them, so it's not called a sin, he's pointing out. It's like, it's not what they're supposed to be doing. And then he quotes the Gemara on Yisacha and Mesachas Yuma, at the end of the Gemara Yuma. The Daf Yomi is currently learning Yuma right now in this current cycle. The Gemara in Daf Pei Vav and Aleph, the very well-known Gemara, where the Gemara talks about, you know, about how do you sanctify God, and the Gemara talks about the way you sanctify God is that people, when they look to you, and they see what a wonderful good person you are, right? The pasuk says you have to shalakach, you shall love Hashem your God, right? The beginning of Shema says, so what does it mean you shall love Hashem your God? Shehei Shem Shemayim Misavei Vayadecha. That the name of heaven should become beloved through you. That people want to attach, to come close to God when they see that you are being a godly person. They'll say, I want to be like that. That's the ideal. In other words, it means that a person should be kari, b'shonim, b'shamim. You should study, you should learn Torah, you should cling to Torah, to Torah scholars. And in addition to that, and when you conduct business, you should be honest. Right? You should conduct business in a pleasant manner. And people are going to say about you, Ashri Adam Shalom, well, praiseworthy is his father who taught him Torah. This is what Torah is. Wow, unbelievable. Look at the Rebbe. The Rebbe taught this person how to live as a Jew. So, you know, that's what we try to achieve with the coin. The coin should, when people see the coin, people say that's what a Jew should be. A mensch, a good person, a person who cares about God, has a relationship with God, a person who's soft-spoken, who's kind, who's generous, who's compassionate, sensitive. Right? But the danger is, if you know that that's your job, you might let it get to your head. That's a very fine balance that you have to work on. And then the Tziv just makes one final point. In his Harchev Daver, he quotes a Yechezkel Anavi, where Yechezkel talks about in the future about the Kohanim, that the Kohanim are going to, they do the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, and they do it in there's a certain area where only they can be. A non-Kohen can be, and they have to, when they're doing that Avoda, they have to wear their special Kohen clothes at that point. But when they go out to the people, so then they can change out of their coin, special coin clothes. Yifshu to espigdeyam, ashahim mishar simbam. And they can take off those special four garments that a regular coin wore, and the love should be, and they love bechim, they can put on other clothing. That's what the pasuk says. So the Tziv asked the question, what do they can change change out of their clothes and put on other clothing. Of course they put on other clothing. Are they going to walk out without clothing on? You know, they're going to, you do your special work with your coin work, and then you go out and you take clothes. Okay, that's like, why do I need to know that? So it says in the Tziv, Ain a pirish for loshu begam acheyam big dechol, Pshita Shloyach Amrum. Of course, they're not going to walk around without any clothing on. They got Mash Zeh Shalovi Kachu Asam Big Dam. All right, Big Dekonish Asura. Now, and they can't, and they're not allowed to wear their special clothing outside because that's only designated for wearing. You can't walk around the streets of Yerushalayim and go to the ball game wearing your Kohen clothes. That's only when you're in the base of Mikdash. Ella, so what's it talking about changing your clothing? What's it trying to emphasize? Hachei perusho, v'lovshu begadim acheim shlo yilbashu b'big deicho b'tzuras big deikuna. Very fascinating. When they go out, they should wear dignified clothing, nice clothing, but they shouldn't wear clothing that looks like they're big day kahuna. They can't wear their special Kohen clothing outside, but they shouldn't wear imitation big Kohen clothing. Why not? But then not some time, it gives a reason. So you can't shoe as a am big day am im yelchu be big day kahuna yifishu as amiam. We're also a kohanim levoshim big day kuna kamo b'shas avoda. Basically, they would be saying we're better than you, right? That we're more distinguished than you are. In other words, they should wear clothes that are appropriate, that are modest, that are clean. But they shouldn't wear clothing that sort of demonstrates that I'm better than you are, that I'm more revered than you are, I'm more sanctified than you are. Again, it's the same idea. It's this very delicate balance that they need to be these role models, and to demonstrate what it means to be a Jew and how to act and behave, but not allow it to get to their head. And so. But I think what emerges is that on some level, kavod can be a good thing, honor, and honor can be a terrible thing. In other words, sometimes you need kavod, right? Sometimes people should be looking up to you. That the Gemara talks about that when they would choose a new head of the yeshiva, In Yavna, soon after the destruction of the second base of Migdash, that they needed to select someone who not only was a big scholar, but was someone who could speak to the Roman authorities and someone who the Romans would respect. And often that would require the person be a wealthy person, someone who they, money talks. And then sometimes this was a reality. They needed someone who wasn't afraid of people of power, because that person himself had a lot of power. In fact, I was always bothered by it. I think I want to give a drush about this. I think it was the next Shabbos, not this Shabbos. The next Shabbos, we're going to bench Rosh Chodesh. Remember, we bench Rosh Chodesh, but we always have a beautiful tefillah. Everyone comes to show for Rosh Chodesh benching. We ask Hashem for, Chaim Aruchim, Chaim Shalom, Tova. We want a life of peace and of parnasa and bracha. And of health. It's such a beautiful tefillah, right? Very powerful, emotional tefillah. But there's one phrase that always bothered me. But everything makes to make sense, except for the ask Chaim Shal Osher V'Chavod, a life of wealth and of honor. Wealth and honor? In other words, you already asked for Parnassa. Parnassa is like, I should be able to pay the bills, right? I should make enough money that I can... pay the electricity bill, I can go on vacation once in a while, I can buy a nice pair of clothing. But Osher, I need to be filthy rich. Hashem blood gives you that, okay, there's nothing, you don't have to give it away. Right? Judaism doesn't, you should enjoy the world. And again, if God blesses you with wealth, more power to you, and use it to beautify God, enjoy the world, give to worthy causes. But to actually pray for wealth, and to pray for honor, like that's what you seek. So I think, based on what we said, that if you're doing it just for your own, haughtiness and thinking highly of yourself, and then that shot, go run far away from that. That's a terrible amida. But if you're doing it because sometimes you need those things in order for be able to connect with other people, in order to help the Jewish world, the Jewish community, in order for you to be able to represent God to other people in a very fine way, then if it's being used for the right reasons, then it's good. It gets like that, the head of those yeshivas, they needed a person to be very honorable and wealthy. It's very important to have those things in order to be able to interact with the government authorities. So in that sense, in those limited times, it is okay and it is helpful. But when it's all about yourself, so then that's something to shy far away from. So what's pshat then in the Gemara? With the students of Bikiva, that they didn't give honor to one another. The problem is that they didn't suggest that you get the sense that they only gave honor to themselves. In other words, they didn't appreciate, again, the Gemara emphasizes it wasn't 24,000 students, but 12,000 pairs, right? It was, and in that interaction, one with the other, the chavrusa, you know, didn't recognize the value of the other one. It was just, you know, a person, especially when it comes to religion, can be very focused just on themselves and their relationship with God. And, you know, working hard on themselves to pray, you know, that much longer and study that much longer, but not be aware of people around you. And not to be that Kohen who's supposed to be that role model to benefit other people, not to benefit yourself and your own personal spiritual journey, but to be someone to assist someone else. And so perhaps what the Gemara is saying is that these students were too self-centered on themselves, each one, and didn't see the sanctity in the other one. They didn't recognize the goodness in the other and what the other one could contribute. They weren't there to help and uplift the other, but they're only there for themselves. If God says you're only here for yourselves, you miss the point, right? We're in this together. This is one nation, and we're here to be so supportive of one another. The kavod, there was kavod. The problem is the kavod was for themselves, and if kavod is only for yourself, so that's what the Mishnah again is saying in this week's end of this week's parak, that if it's just kavod, right? If you're only looking in for your own kavod, then this is what happens. Motzinas adam and olam, it removes you from the world. You're not deserving to be here because it's not about you. It's about God. It's about the Jewish people. It's about the world. You're just a shliach. You're just a messenger, and a very important messenger, a critical messenger. You're here because God needs you. But don't think that you're God. You know you're incredible. Just do what you're supposed to do. Be the baseball players paid to hit home runs. The football players who's paid to score touchdowns. I think that I don't remember because I didn't. I've been living in Detroit now for 19 years. I wasn't Zosa to live in Detroit when Barry Sanders was playing. I do remember as a child growing up, sometimes seeing the game, especially the Thanksgiving games, you see Barry Sanders play. But if I'm not mistakenly say, when he would score a touchdown, you know what he would do? He's holding the football, he just scored, he handed it to the referee and go back to the sidelines. He scored, he did what he was supposed to do, and then, okay, get ready for the next play. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're just, and if you do what you're supposed to do, so that's what says. That's what you know. Ben Zoma says at the beginning of this week's parak, right? Who is honored? You honor others, right? You do what you're supposed to do. You give kavod to, right? The problem is the students do not give kavod one to the other. You should give kavod, but not to yourself. Give it to the other person sitting across the table from you. The person sitting next to you. And if you do that, people will respect you. People see what a kind, generous, you know, good person you are. They'll see what the Kiddush Hashem that you're sanctifying God's name. They'll want to be, that's what a Jew should be. I want to be like that. That's something to aspire to be. That's something that I can be proud of. That's something that's refined. That's what a godly person is. It will encourage other people. And people will respect that. They'll respect you for that. But if you're seeking it out and you're looking for it, so you're not going to do your job, people are going to see right through you, and you're not, I don't need you, God says. It's not you. It's me. It's the mission. It's not you. So I think that perhaps that's the message here. That's what the Gemara is trying to convey, and that's the very delicate balance that the Kohanim had. That we want people to respect them. We want people to look up to them. They need to be those role models, but they have to be very careful not to allow it to get to their heads, not to misuse that position that they have. And it's not easy, right? If you're the person who always gets the first aliyah and shul, you get all those aliyahs, and you're the person who always leads benching, and you're always standing up there, and you're duchening, and you're always standing at the base of Mingosh, and you're bringing the korbanos, you can think you're pretty important, right? And you're doing important, you're doing important things, but it's not you. You're just the vehicle, the message, and you need to be very careful in terms of how you can conduct yourself. And with the Gemara in Yuma, and I'll end off with this, ultimately says we all have this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, right? We're all the Kohanim in that sense. We all represent the God here in this world, and whether we want it or not, no one wants to be the dinner honoree. But you're God's honoree. You represent God, and people look up to you. Your friends and children and people in the community, and people say that if they see a certain person, they say, oh, that's what a Jew is. I want to be like that person. And God forbid, not like that. So then someone says, I'm going far. This is not that's what Judaism is. This is what godly being a religious person is. I'm running far away. That'd be horrible. That's Chil Hashem. That's sanctifying God's name. We're supposed to be Mekadesh Hashem Hashem. And we just have to be careful that, we understand that our job, it's a job. It's our responsibility. And it's not about us. It's about a larger mission and a larger purpose. And God willing, we'll be able to do it. People will be Mechabed us because they'll see, that's wonderful. But we're not in for it. That's not where we're seeking. We're seeking just to do the Ratzon Hashem, the will of God, and ultimately to sanctify God and to cause God's name to be magnified, to be respected, and to be embraced in this world. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.